We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The Indiana Pacers.
Reggie from the wing. Yeah! Move, baby! Move! Move! Move, move, move! To the big fella, fake shoots, and hits! He hit!
10 seconds to play. 7. Here's a 3 by Oladipo.
Oh! Bang!
He hit it! Victor Oladipo from 3-point range!
18.7 seconds left.
Miller for 3, and he got it. Reggie Miller with a clutch tray and a steal. Miller retreats to the 3-point line and hits again.
What's going on, everybody? You're listening to Setting the Pace here with Alex Golden and the coach, the insider, Tyler Smith, and the leader of their Jermaine O'Neal fan club, Mike Facci. Guys, what's going on?
Hey, it's a good time to be a basketball fan, and it's fine. The time is finally here, and I'm excited as can be. What about you?
Oh, I'm excited, man. Tyler, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good vibes coming from Pacer Nation. We got the Miles Turner extension opening night just around the corner, so exciting times around here.
All right, well, let's jump into that. Miles Turner, first reported by Shams Charania that he got an extension for 4 years, $80 million, and then that was kind of held back a little bit by the Woj report saying that it was actually 4 years, $72 million, with incentives to get that up to $80 million. So there, I kind of like that contract better, the one that Woj reported instead of the one that Shams reported. As for me, there's a lot of things that went through my head, but Tyler, I want to get your take. What was your first reaction when you saw this extension was completed yesterday?
Well, personally, I like it a lot for several reasons. And, you know, one thing that fans have to remember is the Pacers are paying him for these future seasons. You know, they're not paying him for what he's done so far. They believe that he's going to step up. I think a lot of people expect him to. But to me, the bottom line is this. This team is not going to be a legitimate contender unless Miles Turner develops into a star caliber player, or at least a really good player. And so they know what they have. You know, Oladipo's an all-star. The team overall is solid. They got a lot of depth. But this season and the future, a lot of it rests on Miles Turner's shoulders. And so when you're a small market team, you've got to hit on your draft picks. You've got to be rewarded by who you take. And to an extent, you need to be loyal to who you take. And so whether fans like it or not, you know, Miles Turner is the guy. Now, if he doesn't develop, if the contract ends up being a bust, it's kind of like, you know, so be it, but at least the Pacers are trying to go after it to win with one of their own guys. You know, it's not often that you get a chance to lock a guy up that is this young with this potential. And now, you know, the Pacers don't have to worry about next summer some team coming in offering him some crazy contract that they'd have to decide if they need to match or let him walk. So I think they're actually going to end up saving money by doing this. And one final note on him is I think he's going to be this about the 60th highest paid player coming into this year. So it's not like it's some crazy contract. I think he can be a top 60 player.
Yeah, Fauci, what was your take on this this extension?
Yeah, you got to love the Pacers betting on one of their own. I think that Miles Turner put in the work over the offseason, and as Tyler mentioned, we're not paying him for the 12.7 points per game, the 6.5 rebounds. We're paying him for what we expect to be, you know, a breakout year. I think the 4 years, $72 million, as you mentioned, it sounds better. It feels better than 4 years, $80 million. And as Tyler's mentioning, around 60th highest paid in the league, it's crazy because there's guys like Kent Bazemore, Alan Crabb, Wesley Matthews that are going to be making just a tad bit more than this deal, making it even more appealing. So he's always been a key part of the future since we drafted him, and I think that being able to avoid the whole restricted free agency thing. I mean, you guys remember what happened when Portland ran up Roy Hibbert's contract and we were forced to match. It was just a messy situation I'm happy to avoid.
Yeah, and as for me, I mean, a lot of people know that I'm not the biggest Miles Turner fan. Now, I don't dislike Miles Turner. I just have some, you know, questions, and I have some concerns with his development over the past 3 years, and I really have gotten tired of the narrative of, oh, well, he's only 20, he's only 21. You know, I get that, and I got really tired of it last year because he did regress from the previous year, and so I was expecting a big year for Miles, especially with Paul George leaving. I just feel like this summer he did what was necessary to get his body in shape. That was my biggest concern, was he just looked tired, and I was really happy to see that he is putting in the work to get better as far as his physical shape. But as far as his game goes, in the preseason, I felt like I saw some development. He didn't shoot the three as much, which I think is a good thing, but also a bad thing because he's a pretty good three-point shooter. I want to see him take more threes than I want to see him take 12-footers, 15-footers, because I think that's his bread and butter, is that three-point shot. But it is interesting to me as well, because you look at the league today, and centers are not valued as much as they should be, and it's kind of become a position where you look at a guy like Clint Capella, who had a terrific year for the Rockets last year, but they weren't going to pay him. And then when he hit the market, nobody else was going to offer him anything crazy. So he ended up taking a lesser deal, similar to what Miles got. I think he got 5 years, 90, if I'm correct, somewhere around that total. And so it is very similar to what Miles got for his $72 million over 4 years. I think we're betting on what we hope Turner can be, but we're not sure. So that's the only problem. I think if Turner does not progress into the player that the Pacers want him to, at least the contract is movable. And I'm not saying that they're going to move him, but I'm saying this is a deal that isn't so, you know, high, kind of like Devin Booker's extension this offseason. It's something that's actually able to move. So, I mean, Tyler, what is your thoughts on how I feel about the contract?
I mean, your concerns are absolutely fair, and I get the concern that some fans have. That's a lot of money to commit to a guy that, you know, just had just an okay season. But I do think that even if he had that kind of season again, I think he would be getting offers from other teams that may see the potential there. Really kind of historic shooting and blocking combination, especially for that age. And I think ultimately, as I said, the Pacers need to bet on, you know, who they take and roll with it. And as you said, it's not a contract that's going to stop their growth completely from that and from there.
Well, Fauci, I want to get your take on this as well. I'll have Tyler echo your thoughts and my thoughts here. But recently, Nate McMillan said he's kind of tired of the Sabonis and Turner playing together questions. It's not going to happen that much. So, you know, Sabonis will basically be Miles Turner's backup. Now, they might play together some, but it won't be a lot. So if Sabonis, who is 21 himself, has a solid season, and we saw last year he finished a lot of those games, the Pacers had nice fourth quarter comebacks, he was on the court and Turner wasn't. So what happens if Sabonis just leaps Miles Turner talent-wise? I mean, how do we go about that, Fauci?
All right, so now, I mean, we're going to have a predicament over here between what if
Miles Turner doesn't kind of perform the way that we want to, and DeMontis Sabonis is performing the way that we have seen in the past. I mean, it's evident that he is the better rebounder out of the two. I mean, he's really showed it. Led all bench players rebound last year, and you kind of get the feeling that he's a walking double-double for Miles Turner. But after this deal, you got to get the feeling that he's going to have a much longer leash to be able to kind of get through these rough patches and perform. And McMillan's saying that he's not going to play them that much together. You don't even want to think what's going to happen once Sabonis hits free agency. But I'd like to think that Sabonis could really be an anchor of that second unit. And you got to just hope that Miles Turner is able to be what we're hoping that we're paying for. And I think the three-point shot, the shooting, I mean, Sabonis is no slouch when it comes to that at all, shooting-wise. But I do think Miles Turner is really going to show something that we shouldn't be too worried about. We should be more excited about. What do you guys think?
Yeah, go ahead, Tyler.
Yeah, I think this is one of those cases where it's a good problem to have. I know some of the fans are getting a little anxious over how it's all going to play out, and especially with the contract to Turner now. But Sabonis is locked up still for a little while. I don't know how long it will last, but at least for last season and so far in the preseason, both guys are saying the right things in terms of, you know, they're really pulling for each other. Last year, no matter – actually, Kevin Pritchard mentioned that as well on Media Day, that whoever, you know, finished the game, the other guy was there cheering, no matter who it was. And so hopefully that'll continue to last. There are far bigger problems that a lot of other teams have that they wish they could have this problem. You know, as different players as these guys are, if Nate McMillan can find ways to use them both to their strengths and maybe in certain matchups, make sure they're both getting – pretty close to starter minutes, the best that they can. And then you always have that luxury as well. If somebody's in foul trouble or injured, you've got that other guy ready to go. So I think even though it presents a lot of challenges, it's a good problem for the Pacers to figure out.
Now, this is going to be a conversation that we have for the next year or so, and I think that we could continue to beat this drum for a while, talking about the differences, talking about the similarities, talking about them playing together. But I think it's kind of getting old. It's a little bit overblown. I'd like to just see them play more minutes together this season, kind of experiment with it and see what happens. I mean, last year we got a very, very small sample size, so I don't know if we'll get it or not. But with that being said, we've got a game to talk about. Wednesday night, real basketball is back. The Pacers open up at home against the Memphis Grizzlies. So we're going to preview that game and the other four games, or the other three games on the schedule with the Grizzlies. So the Memphis Grizzlies, they have Marcus Gasol and Mike Conley back and Chandler Parsons. So a little bit of a joke there with Chandler Parsons. He's become a joke, especially for his contract. But from what they've been saying, he's got a newly reconstructed knee that he went over to Germany to try to fix. And so it looks like he's going to be playing. Now, the Pacers did face the Grizzlies in preseason, but they did not play any of their starters. Neither team did. So, Tyler, this game, how you feeling about it? What are your expectations for this game against the Grizzlies?
Feeling pretty good about it. Obviously, opening night, there's going to be a lot of hype. One of my concerns for the Pacers for opening night would to not be too overhyped. Last year, if you remember when a certain player from the Oklahoma City Thunder came into play, Victor Oladipo admitted the team was a little too overhyped for that showdown, and maybe a few times throughout the year they're a little too amped up. And if that happens on opening night, a team like Memphis can stay close and make it interesting. You know, even though they were awful last year, Memphis, they only had 12 games last year where Conley and Gasol both played, and they were 7-5 in those 12 games. So definitely no slouch of an opponent. They added Kyle Anderson in free agency. Of course, they lost to Tyreke Evans to Indiana. But I like the Pacers on opening night. They got some tougher games coming up after that, so I think it's a game that they need to win. Obviously, it's just one game, but it would be a huge early win to kick Kings off on the right foot.
Fauci?
So, I mean, the Pacers at home, you got to believe that the crowd's going to be out there rocking, really supporting the Pacers. Always been a really great home team, 27-14. Last year at home. Yeah, the team's healthy. I think that this is a game that the Pacers will come out and take care of business. one of the big strengths this year is going to be chemistry. Sure, obviously, Conley and Gasol have played together for a while, but they were really injured last year. You know, that team's not, say, maybe not in all in sync compared to the Pacers. And, hey, I don't want to call it a Tyreke Evans revenge game because it's only 1 year, but you got to get the feeling he's going to be looking to come out ready to rock, having spent the year over there, but not really gotten the offer that he thought he might have gotten. I expect the Pacers to come out and put the clamps down on defense, and I want to see some of this this extra offense that we added with Tyreke Evans, adding Doug McDermott. Are we going to be letting the three-point ball fly tomorrow compared to all those mid-range jumpers that we saw just a little too much of? So I expect the Pacers to win by, the Vegas line had it about 6.5. I see about an 8-point win for the Pacers.
Yeah, and see, you know, when it comes to Memphis, this is a team that is not projected to make the playoffs in the Western Conference. It's a tight conference over there, extremely loaded. I'm a little worried about this game, to be honest with you guys. We have always struggled against Memphis. Now, I know we beat them last year, but it was a very tough game. They didn't have Conley. They didn't have Gasol. I don't even think Tyreke Evans played in the last matchup when they played at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. I think it was like Wayne Seldon was going off on us. So this Memphis team, they always play hard. They're very tough. And I think opening night, you know, it's gonna be a gritty game. And I know that's how Memphis has been over the past couple of seasons, and they've been one of those teams that was a staple in the playoffs with those two stars and Gasol and Conley. So I think this is going to be a very tough game, and I'm not predicting the Pacers to lose because they're at home, and like you said, Facha, they're a really good home team. Tyler, do you remember how many seasons it's been since they've lost or had a losing record at home?
I think they are currently at 27 straight seasons of a winning record, which is the longest current active streak in the NBA. And I believe, I'll have to check the stats, but I think the Phoenix Suns have the record, and it's somewhere around the 33 or 34 straight. So the Pacers are closing in on the all-time record for that.
Well, yeah, and wow. I think that this is definitely a game the Pacers should win. They probably will win, but I'm still a little uncomfortable, not ready to put a lot of money down on this if I was a betting person on the Pacers, just because I feel like Memphis could cause problems for us. Because they always have. Am I overthinking this, Tyler?
No, I mean, like I said, especially if the Pacers are too overhyped and they're trying to do too much, you know, if they need to play their game, because Memphis is a team that, you know, even with like, 22 wins or so last year, that's, you can't look at that as the team that you're about to face. You know, 7-5 when Conley and Gasol both play, they're both expected to be in there. So it could be one of those grinded out games, and they're going to have to get it done possibly in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and we've seen plenty of those fourth quarter comebacks. Now, that is one thing I would like to see the Pacers do a better job at this season, not being down by 15 points in the fourth quarter. We love the comebacks. We love the Lance Stephenson show, but Lance is gone, so now it would be the Oladipo Tyreke show. We love those kind of moments, but at the same time, I would feel much better as a fan if I didn't have to watch us try to come back from 15 points down every single game. Facci, were you in that same boat?
Completely. While it's exciting, it's also nerve-wracking. I would much rather prefer to put the pedal to the metal in the first quarter and just get off to a great start. And, as Tyler was mentioning, you know, it's not going to be the same Memphis team that only had 22 wins. I'm anxious to see what Jaren Jackson's looking like. You know, Marshawn Brooks played really good towards the end of the year. Dylan Brooks is picking it up. So the game is, this is not a game to overlook. I do think being at home is going to make a big difference. And like I said, I'm confident the Pacers take care of business tomorrow.
Now, in game number two for the Indiana Pacers, I think this will be a game that the Pacers all have circled on their calendars, because for some reason, everybody in NBA Twitter and NBA for ESPN, Fox Sports, they have crowned the Milwaukee Bucks as the darlings of the Eastern Conference, with Giannis Antetokounmpo winning the MVP in most people's predictions, and then you've got the Bucks jumping the Sixers and the Pacers, going all the way to the third seed in Zach Lowe's column today, and the favorites to win the Central Division. They were the seventh seed last year, and I don't understand. I get adding a new coach Budenholzer. He's a great coach, but we only really saw one terrific year in Atlanta. All the other seasons were pretty mediocre. I get the hype with Giannis. He's a terrific basketball player, but you know what? The Pacers have been overlooked time and time again, and I think, Tyler, this is a game that the Pacers are going to be looking at with nothing, not wanting to hold anything back. They want to prove themselves in this game, and I feel like this could be a really fun game to watch in Milwaukee.
Yeah, you nailed it. It'll be a fun one. Definitely a chance to have a kind of a statement win early in the season, if there is such a thing. It's going to be tough. I think it's Milwaukee's home opener, if I'm not mistaken. They'll have a great atmosphere there. But, you know, when they had their coaching change last season, I believe they were just 21-16, which is a good record, but it's not like they just went completely off under their new coach at that time. So like you said, I get some of the hype that they're being given, and I do think it is going to be Pacers and Bucks battling it out for the Central Division. But we'll see what happens, and it, definitely an early, fun early ball game, game number two.
Pachi?
So, and, you know, the first road test, as you mentioned, everyone is trying to really crown, not crown, but really emphasize that the Bucks are a team to be forced to be reckoned with this year. And are they as good as everyone thinks? I mean, last year they did underperform. Budenholzer's, sure, that is a great offseason move. But at the same point, they're just not that deep. I think that if the Pacers can come out strong and take that game against Milwaukee, all eyes will be on us to know that, hey, it's not just a two-team race in the East between Boston and Philly. The Pacers are in that mix. And there is a chance this could be a first-round matchup. This could be a 4-5 seed. It's definitely a possibility if the Pacers are unable to get that 3 seed, but it is going to be important to come out there on the road and really, you know, handle business, because the Pacers were only 21-20 last year on the road. It's basically a 500 record. And Giannis is unbelievable. There is no, you know, no single answer to stop him, but that's where we're going to have to rely on our gut. And hey, can Oladipo take it to that next level? Because if he's able to consistently, you know, hand it out just like he did last year, but turn it up a tad bit, I think that this is going to be, it's going to be a real tough one. But man, I would really love to take that game too, since game on the road against Milwaukee.
Yeah, and I think in those four games we saw last year against Milwaukee, Thad Young played really good defense on Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now, I don't really think there's another guy on the Pacers that can really stop Giannis or stay in front of him as well as Thad. I think Thad is the perfect defender to guard Giannis Antetokounmpo and might be one of the best defenders in the Eastern Conference to match up against Giannis, because they kind of have a similar build. Tyler, what did you think of Thad's defense last year on Giannis?
Oh, he played great. You know, the Pacers went 3-1 against him. And I also want to kind of a side note here. When the Milwaukee Bucks come to Indiana, the dates are December 12th and February 13th. Fans should get tickets to that, if nothing else, to hear the Pacers PA guy try to pronounce his name. It is high-quality entertainment. I think I counted 11 different ways last year. One time he said Antetokounmpo, or he's been saying Kumba or Koopa, like
he
the Mario.
Yes, Kumba.
Yeah.
I remember
so that's
that.
Good stuff. But yeah, Thad Young did a great job. You know, there's a reason that he's called the glue guy of this team, and you know, there's so many different ways that he can help, and we'll see if that continues, because if the Pacers were to win the season series again against Milwaukee, that's a huge, you know, couple game swing there that may loom extremely large. I did also like that the four matchups this year are pretty spread out. I don't like when, you know, they play the same team twice in a matter of a week or two, because then if there's an injury, it really impacts the standings. October 19th, December 12th, February 13th, March 7th. So nice and spread out for the season series here.
Awesome. Yeah, I know this is going to be the most watched series for me, as the Pacers look to win the Central Division for the first time in a while since LeBron James is no longer with the Cavaliers. I think this is an awesome opportunity for the Pacers, but it's also a great opportunity for the Bucks. I mean, the Bucks are a young team that have a lot of talent, so this will be a fun series to watch, and I'm also excited to watch a Sixers-Pacers series as well, because all those will be nationally televised. So I think that some people are across the league are interested in that matchup as well. So let's move on to game number three, Saturday night, 7 o'clock. Make sure you get tickets to this game. It's the Pacers hosting the Nets. And so the Nets have, once again, another year of trying to build their roster. They got some nice young guys on their team. They brought in some veterans, Kenneth Faried. They have Alan Crabb that they got a couple years ago in a trade. So they finally have their draft pick as well. So it'll be interesting to see what the Nets are wanting to do this year. Facci, what are your thoughts on the Pacers versus Nets? So this is obviously a must-win game for the Pacers.
Of course. Definitely a must-win. The first back-to-back on the Union for the Pacers, we'll see. But, you know, being at home, the Brooklyn Nets, they are going in the right direction. It's nice to finally see that they'll, you know, end up getting their draft pick finally at the end of the year. But it's not the year. DeMar Carroll's already ruled out. He's having some ankle surgery. I think that always helps us. And also they signed, as you forgot to mention, the veteran himself, Jared Dudley. He is just, I feel like that guy is just going to be just a great locker room presence just to help them, but not on the court. I think the Pacers, this is a game that I'm not worried about, but we have to have. It's a game that I think that this could be our first potential blowout game where we really can hopefully put everything on display. I really think we can put the clamps down on defense in this game. Just, while they have, you know, they did add a couple people, it's more of a couple moves like filling salary, like Kenneth Faried, and a couple draft picks that just aren't ready to contribute yet. I'm not really worried about D'Angelo Russell in this game. I think this is going to be the kind of game where we're going pretty deep on the team and letting everybody get some quality minutes. That's a game where I'm really excited. Last year, that was the first game of the season, and Miles Turner just looked so good in that game before having a concussion. That was a really high-scoring game. I want to say it was about 140 to 130 or something really close to that. But I expect us to, like I said, clamp down on defense and really get this win out, not squeaking it at all. I'm seeing about a 10 to 15-point win. What are you guys' thoughts on the Brooklyn game?
Yeah, go ahead, Tyler.
Yeah, I agree. It's a game that the Pacers need, really opening night and Saturday, when you consider the tough three road games they have sandwiched around those. Two games the Pacers really need to have. I think the Nets are once again going to be bottom three or four team in the Eastern Conference. I will say, however, teams that are not very good but sometimes dangerous, it's either on a back-to-back or some of these teams early on in the season, they kind of play over their heads a little bit. Maybe, you know, guy like Russell or you know, one of their guys goes off and they can keep up. So it's similar to Memphis in that there's, you know, far from a guarantee. NBA, anybody can win any night. And Pacers hope to do well on their back-to-backs, especially at home. But, again, game they need to take.
Yeah, for sure. That's the most important thing here is beating the teams that you should beat, especially if you're wanting to be a serious contender in the Eastern Conference. So the last game before we should be back next Tuesday, Monday night, 8 o'clock in Minnesota. Now, we know all the crazy drama that's going down in Minnesota. It'll be interesting to see if Jimmy Butler is a part of that team, and I think that if he is, it's going to make the game a little bit tougher as far as talent on the court, but chemistry-wise, we really don't know what to expect from Minnesota, especially with all of this going around. And I think this might be a perfect time to catch a Timberwolves. So right at the beginning of the year, right with Jimmy Butler in the mix, all the drama. Tyler, what are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, it's a huge question mark as to what they have. I've been looking at their schedule. They play, they open with the Spurs, they have the Cavs. They play Saturday in Dallas, and then they have a day off before the Pacers come in. So they got a couple home games, couple road games, but not a whole lot of time to figure things out until then. So we'll see what happens. I think it was last year in Minnesota, maybe the third game of the season, if I remember right. The Pacers, we had a big road win. Maybe I think Butler didn't play in the game, but it was still one of those wins that was, even though it was early, it was kind of like, hey, this Pacers team is looking kind of good here. And, you know, that's not often they play the same team, you know, early on in the season like that with their one and only trip. But basically it's a really talented group, but with so much going on there, like you said, maybe it is a good time to go in there and steal a win.
Yeah, Facci, what are your thoughts on this game?
This four-game stretch is going to tell us a lot about this team. Going on the road to Minnesota, as we all know, the Jimmy Butler, you know, situation has has been very publicly addressed. And so you got to see, I fully believe that he will be with the team. And on paper, they're loaded with talent. Karl-Anthony Towns is going to be a handful in this game. That's going to be a real test for, I want to see how Miles can really match up in that game. Obviously, we know he put on some size, but Karl-Anthony Towns is a handful no matter how you look at it. This is going to be, in my mind, the toughest of the four games. If we can take this one, it would really say a lot about this team. They're starting five. You know how he's going to play everybody. The starters might get 40 minutes apiece. So you got to hope that we can win this game by having a better team chemistry and a deeper roster. I think that's going to be the way the secret to hopefully being able to squeak out a win on the road.
Yeah, so what I guess I'll ask you first, Facci. With these four games, what do you expect the Pacers' record to be after their game against Minnesota?
I expect 3-1. I think that the Minnesota game is the toughest. I really think that the Pacers will come out and play real hard against Milwaukee. You can't overlook Memphis and Brooklyn, but I do think that we're significantly better than those teams. The starting five, I mean, we're just this team, I don't want to keep pounding it in, but chemistry. This bringing back the same starting five, which is it's such a tight-knit group that I think that it is going to go a long way this year. I think the one game that I am worried about is the Minnesota game. Obviously, Milwaukee, it's not a sure thing at all, but hey, I'm going with 3-1, anything less, and I'd be a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, Tyler, what do you think?
Yeah, I've debated on that, whether it's 3-1 or 2-2. Obviously, a lot of fans want 4-0, which is possible, but difficult, of course. I think I'm probably leaning towards 2-2 just because, despite all the junk that's gone on in Minnesota, I think they're going to be a tough team to beat on their home floor. And then I would say Pacers will win both the home games and maybe drop those two away games. But I was also looking a little bit ahead to the fifth game, which is the Spurs. I know we'll talk about that next time, but I was kind of thinking about a 3-2 Pacers start, which would mean they would take the home games, win one of the tough games on the road, and go from there. But I did want to mention, you know, fans like to overreact a lot early in the season. I want to encourage fans to be very careful not to overreact this year. It's a long season. The Pacers were 19-19 in the first 38 games last year, and so they ended up being within a game of the 3 seed when all is said and done. So if the Pacers do disappoint a little bit in the first few weeks or so and play 500 ball, it's not ideal, but it's also not the end of the world if that happens.
Yeah, and I'm gonna go ahead and say the Pacers are 3-1 after they play Minnesota, and I think the one loss comes to Milwaukee. As tough as the Pacers might play Milwaukee on the road, I think it's just going to be a tough environment. Playing the Bucks, opening night, like you said, Tyler, it's going to be a tough game. And you know what? It's just part of the regular season, and I think this is going to be a fun matchup all year long. So I'm going 3-1. the fan of me wants to say 4-0, like you said, Tyler. But realistically, I feel like Minnesota is very beatable. We beat them last year in Minnesota as well, so I think that they're comfortable playing up there. And this team actually played pretty well on the road last year, and I think playing four preseason games on the road as well helps their confidence, you know, with being on the road. So that's why I'm okay with picking Minnesota as a win. So I'm going to go 3-1. But we do have some questions. So, Tyler, you want to read a couple of those questions off for us?
Yeah, sure thing. First question comes from Andrew Krill. You can find him on Twitter at TheAndrewKrill. He said, which one of the following three scenarios would indicate the Pacers had the best season? Number one, Oladipo wins MVP. Number two, Miles Turner wins MIP. Or number three, Tyreek wins sixth man. What do you guys think?
Facci, I'll let you answer this first.
You got to go with Oladipo winning MVP. I mean, other than Russell Westbrook's historic first triple-double season where they were about the sixth seed, that's just too rare. In order for Oladipo to be MVP, you got to imagine the Pacers are a top two seed and that they're really just clicking on all cylinders. I mean, I would imagine at that point, man, for Oladipo to win MVP, the Pacers would have to be almost around that. You got to figure maybe 55 win mark, and that would be pretty damn impressive to me. So I'm going to go with Oladipo winning MVP this season. If that happens, everything's going right.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Fauci. If he's MVP, that means the Pacers have over-exceeded expectations. If Miles Turner's most improved player, now the Pacers might be better as a team as a whole, maybe, or Turner taking that leap might make the Pacers a better team, but I think that Oladipo making that jump to MVP, that scenario, wow, that means the Pacers are a top two team, like you said, in the Eastern Conference, and, you know, they probably win 55 games if he's the MVP.
Yeah, valid points for sure. I'm going to disagree just for the case of disagreeing, if that's cool.
Oh, come on.
just got to do it, got to do it. So, yeah, it's hard to argue. You know, MVP season would be just unreal, and, you know, the Pacers would almost for sure be a top two seed, like you said. It, you know, it's a Stars league, and if he takes another big jump, it's hard to argue against that. But what I was thinking was, if Miles Turner, you know, there's different seasons as far as most improved player. If you think of last year's most improved player, the jump that Oladipo took, if Miles Turner had that kind of jump, and then you still bank on Oladipo playing as well as last year or maybe even a little bit better, to me, the Pacers overall would be in a better position than just having one guy going after it. So definitely get, you know, both of those. It's hard to argue against the MVP, but just for the sake of doing it, those are my thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, for sure. I agree with you there a lot about Miles Turner, because it's not just one player. It's another player taking another step up. So that makes perfect sense. Did you have any more questions?
Yeah, I also had one question from Jason Hall. He is asking about the Pacers' chances for the finals. Do the Pacers actually have a legitimate shot at the finals?
Fauci?
Hey, my dinner fan in me says, of course. The realistic one goes, Boston is pretty damn scary, and I think that if it's got to be unanimous that Boston is the favorite to come out of the East. I think that if the Pacers play the Sixers in the Eastern Conference playoffs, or maybe, you know, either way, I'm not as scared of Philly, but Boston is that one team in the East that definitely looks like they're pretty deep and scary. So I would think that could be a battle of the series. It's going to come down to health. If the Celtics are fully healthy, I think they get the nod. If the Pacers can, you know, be just as healthy as they were last year, and maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe something happens with the, you never want to wish, you know, bad health on anyone. But if that was that same Celtics team from last year, I think the Pacers could have played them pretty damn well.
Yeah, the Pacers are 101 odds according to Vegas, and as far as I go, I do not think that they're a championship level team yet. They need significant improvements from the roster within. I just don't think they have enough talent on this team to win a championship, but they can definitely be competitive. If they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, I think that's their ceiling for me.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree. It's not super likely for this group, but, you know, it's at least they have a somewhat of a chance. And as a Pacer fan, that's got to be exciting to come into a year thinking that, you know, if things break their way. I think two of the last 3 or 4 years, there's been a lot of injuries, like, throughout, not just one team or here or there, but a lot of injuries throughout the Eastern Conference playoffs. You never know if that were to happen again and the Pacers were the ones that were healthy. Who knows? You know, it's why they play the games. It's why it's exciting. I do think if the Pacers have any shot whatsoever, they would have to get a top three seed. Assuming Boston's number one, you do not want to play them in round two and then have to play one of the other teams that would be hot at that point as well. So stay away from Boston. Get them in the conference finals, and Oladipo goes off, and who knows. But not super likely, but at least there is a chance.
Yeah, for sure. And this is the last question we have. Evan Graham, he's on Twitter, at PacersMan4. He messaged me and said, who do you believe will be re-signed at the end of the season, and who do you think will not be retained? So as far as the expiring contracts coming up, we have how many expiring contracts do we have coming up, Tyler?
I'm actually trying to remember. Let me look it up real fast. It's a bunch.
Well, I know for sure we got Darren Collison, Corey Joseph, Tyreek Evans, Bogdanovich, Thaddeus Young. Those are the five big ones. Kyle O'Quinn, that's number six. And then we just extended Turner, so that takes away that one. As far as the maybe Ben Moore, seven.
Ike, right? He's in there. Ike Anagbogu.
Ikeanogogo, what's he on his?
He has a contract listed on here, but it could be an option. Yeah.
So, yeah, so it looks like our core of Sabonis, Turner, and Oladipo will be back with our young guys, Aaron Holiday, Alize Johnson, those kind of guys. Doug McDermott was signed this offseason. Yep. So, I mean, out of those guys you mentioned, who do you think they bring back? I mean, this is a really tough question to answer right now because the season hasn't even started yet. But there's a lot of nice talent on this, you know, on this roster that's going to be up for a payday at the end of the season. So, Facci, I guess I'll start with you. Who do you think is most likely to return and most likely to leave?
My gut feeling for most likely to return is probably going to be Bogdanović. I think that he's finally looking for a home, bouncing around a little bit from New Jersey and the Wizards, and then coming over to the Pacers. I mean, he was a nice fit last year. He played probably the best season of his career. I think that he would come with maybe a bit more of a reasonable priced contract. And when I'm looking at the other players on the roster, I mean, of the bigger names, a guy like Corey Joseph, I just think he's gone. I think that he's looking for – he's that guy who's on the cusp where I think that he could compete for a starting point guard spot with some teams. Having drafted Aaron Holiday, I just don't think he fits into the future plans. Collison, man, he's getting older. He'll be 32 after next season. I don't know if the Pacers are going to really look to bring him back unless it's definitely more of a mentor role. And then – last brings you to Thad Young. I don't know. There's just so many bodies down low between, you know, Sabonis and Miles Turner. You want to get those guys minutes, and then how are you going to get T.J. Leaf minutes? It just doesn't seem like there's enough minutes to go around. So my gut says Bogdanović returns to this team, and Corey Joseph's gone, Thad Young's gone, and then, you know, I think Collison's a toss-up.
Tyler?
What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree with some of those points. I think it is very difficult, especially with this many guys that will be free agents. Interesting thing for Bogdanović would be, would he accept a role off the bench? Because I think the Pacers, you know, with the cap that they have, they may be looking for a 3-and-D, you know, more starter type than he would be. And I think he would be a wonderful guy off the second unit for a good team. But is that something he's willing to accept? And if so, then I could see him coming back. Same thing with Evans. You know, I think he's trying to get paid, and, you know, more power to him, trying to have a good year and get paid somewhere. But if that works well here and he doesn't mind not being a starter, I could see that as well. I really don't think either one of the point guards will be back. In fact, I'm not even entirely sure that both will remain on the team throughout this entire season. We'll see what happens there. But I just think with Sumner and Holiday, and then also with you know, some other opportunities that could be out there. It's possible that a Joseph type gets dealt later on. I think you can't do it right now because he's too valuable with a veteran presence and some good defense and meshing with the core group. But I would be surprised if either Collison or Joseph were back next season. And then Thad Young, probably not, which is hard to say. You know, a lot of fans obviously love him, and he has been the glue. But when he's in line to get one final pretty big contract, whether it be 3 years or more, I just don't know if I see the Pacers being able to work that out with the other bodies that they have and the other needs that they have.
Yeah, I mean, this is a loaded question. I mean, you kind of have to just kind of watch how they play this season, like I mentioned earlier. If Tyreek has an amazing season, I think he's number one of the top priorities of the guys that you bring back. But at the same time, you guys are both down on the point guards. I think that as much as we like Aaron Holiday and Sumner to me is not a point guard. I think he's more of a two guard. And I think with Holiday, are you really ready to throw him into that starting position right away? Probably not. Now, the guy I would like to see them go after in free agency is Patrick Beverley. I know he's had injury problems, but I just like his fit next to Oladipo. I think that'd be an amazing defensive backcourt. But I like Corey Joseph. I think he's overall a better player than Darren Collison personally. But there's been times when Collison's outplayed Joseph. So I think one of them probably will remain here. It just depends on who wants to keep, who wants a shorter term deal. I don't think it'll be a long term deal if they do stay. But as far as the forwards go, Bogdanović, I think he's probably gone. You want to bring shooting off the bench. But like I said, you know, he wants the minutes. So it's going to be tough to win a championship if you're having Bogdanović as your starting small forward. Thaddeus Young, he's getting a little older. I think he's going to go to a team that he can possibly win with a championship with. And if the Pacers don't bring in the right pieces, how are they going to do that? So, you know, there's a lot of question marks there with this team, but I'm excited. I think that there's a lot of possibilities for improvements with this roster this season, in the middle of the season if they make a trade, or in the offseason next year. They got plenty of cap space, and there's a lot of talented players out there next year. So it'll be interesting to see what the Pacers do. So I think that wraps it up for the show, guys. We went a little bit longer than usual. Usually we go about 30 minutes, but with the Turner extension, we threw about 10 minutes of that extra in there. So as far as myself, Tyler, and Focci, you guys can check us out every week. And make sure you follow us on Twitter at SettingThePace3. And until then, we'll talk to you later. See you guys.
Have a good one.
See ya.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.